third attempt at recording this now. What's going on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pal, Spaz Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check here, with not one, not two, but three previews to take us into 2024. We're going to talk about Raw Day 1, we're going to talk about NXT New Year's Evil, and we're going to talk about SmackDown New Year's Revolution. I love the fact that we're getting a pay-per-view basically spread out over the first week of January, although it's not really a pay-per-view. It's all set up for the Royal Rumble. And the people that are coming out and saying, why are they just giving it all different names? It's just an episode of Raw. It's just an episode of SmackDown. It's just an episode of NXT. Are mostly AEW fans and soak in the delicious irony of that. Now, let's talk about Monday Night Raw. Now, there's only four matches for Raw, four matches for SmackDown, and three matches announced for NXT. So you knew this wasn't going to be three separate previews because it's not enough to make a preview out of. But let's start with the big one. Seth freaking Rollins taking on Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, Seth Rollins ain't losing this championship. He's carrying that title to Mania, and he's going to face CM Punk. Whether CM Punk wins the Royal Rumble, whether he wins the Elimination Chamber, or whether he picks up the title shot some other kind of way, Seth Rollins is the designated guy for welcoming back people, prodigal sons of the WWE that have stepped across the line, made the mistake of going to AEW, and need to come back home. The guy sitting on that WrestleMania field goal line with open arms to welcome them home, first Cody Rhodes, now CM Punk, is Seth Rollins. The difference being, Cody Rhodes was a mystery opponent at WrestleMania. CM Punk is definitely not, so we're going to get some build behind it. It's going to be great. In the meantime, having Drew McIntyre go up against him, try and fail, is going to be great for Drew McIntyre's heel character, because Drew McIntyre's heel character works because it's real. I'm sorry, I don't want to get into real world stuff, but we all know what it's like to be the only one in the room that sees how shitty people are. Now, kayfabe, that's Jey Uso. And in kayfabe, they're trying to kayfabe real life and say that about CM Punk as well. So they have this weird, Seth doesn't like Drew, Drew doesn't like Seth, but they both don't like that CM Punk is here. One of two things is going to happen. CM Punk is going to come out and just attack both of them and be like, yo, I heard you were talking shit, which is going to be fine. It's going to keep the title on Seth. CM Punk can play it off as, I want to keep that title on you, Seth, because I want to be the one to take it off you, which is great. And he can piss off Drew McIntyre just in the sense of what he said the other week on Raw. Just like what the fuck's your deal, bud? Like, I'm here, I'm trying to do good, I'm back home, I'm back where I'm supposed to be, we're not over in that other place. Like, what the fuck is your deal? And it could give Drew McIntyre a little something to do between now and WrestleMania as well. If you want to keep CM Punk from Seth Rollins, have him do a mini feud with this brand new heel, paranoid, frustrated, understandably frustrated version of Drew McIntyre, which could be a lot of fun. Like, have him be the big hurdle that he has to get over even before the Royal Rumble, before he enters the Royal Rumble, before Drew McIntyre potentially puts a target on his back in the Royal Rumble match. Have CM Punk come in at number one and win the whole fucking thing. That would be awesome. It'd be awesome to do that, or it'd be awesome to have Drew McIntyre be the one to cost him the championship and then have him pin Drew McIntyre in the chamber to get his title shot at WrestleMania. There's a lot of ways you could play with that. Now, the other way you could go is there is another big dude on Raw that's about to turn face, I think, and that is Damian Priest. I'm not breaking any new territory with the idea that Drew McIntyre is going to turn face, possibly leave the Judgment Day, etc. But you could play it up because he still has his Money in the Bank briefcase. He wants to start the year on the right note, one of those cliches. He could come down to the ring during this match, attack Seth Rollins so that A, the match stops, Drew loses his opportunity, but also B, he's wounded because he's just been slammed in the head with a metal briefcase. Now, what I would love about that would be if Drew McIntyre pretended to walk away, Damian Priest thought he had a really, really good shot at Seth Rollins now that he's attacked him, wait till the bell rings, Drew McIntyre claymores Damian Priest, screws him out of his Money in the Bank briefcase, takes him away from Seth Rollins, and now Drew McIntyre, who's a pretty big fucking dude, Damian Priest, who's a really big fucking dude and about to turn face, he can go and have a who-can-be-a-bigger-badass-type feud leading into WrestleMania, potentially with Drew McIntyre. Now, all of those things are possible. CM Punk could come down and fuck with them, and he can fuck around with Drew McIntyre until he gets to Seth Rollins. Or Damian Priest could come down, attempt to cash in, Drew McIntyre could fuck him over, and he could get a chance to have a feud with Drew McIntyre before he brings himself back around to Seth Rollins, maybe at Elimination Chamber before we get the match with CM Punk at WrestleMania. Either one of those are possible. I don't think that you can just have Seth Rollins beat him again, because a lot of people have said it already, a great heel turn like this has to yield results at some point. And if you just flat out beat him again, and that's how he starts the year, that's how he spends his day one, I don't think that's particularly great. But in no situation, unless it's a quick hot potato to hot potato it back, which would be kind of shit, in no situation do I see Seth Rollins not walking out of day one with his championship. Now, switching gears, same thing goes for Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley's taking on Ivy Nile because, yeah, the Alpha Academy is the next group that the Judgment Day is going to feud with, and that's absolutely fine. Rhea Ripley most recently made a really good job of making Zoe Stark look like $1 million. Rhea Ripley is going to make Ivy Nile look like $1 million. I really hope that Ivy Nile has a great year, and at some point this year picks up a singles title, or it looks like, with this relationship between the Alpha Academy and the Creed Brothers, it looks like Ivy Nile and Maxxine Dupri are going to do this odd couple thing, which isn't great, and it will benefit Maxxine Dupri way more than it'll benefit Ivy Nile. It's a much simpler conversation here. Rhea Ripley is going to give Ivy Nile a great match. Ivy Nile is going to get a couple of chance shots in on Rhea Ripley, who's basically indestructible at this point, and Rhea Ripley's going to win. Rhea Ripley is a fucking star. Rhea Ripley, by all rights, should be main eventing one of the nights of WrestleMania. Whoever it is, whether it's Cody going after Roman or whether it's Seth or whether it's Punk going after Seth, whoever wins the Rumble, that match should main event. Even if it's the Cody Roman match, which, you know, whatever. But if Punk and Rollins is the one that comes out of the Rumble, and if Becky and Rhea is the one that comes out of the Rumble, those should be your two main events. I'm sorry, if it's Cody and Roman, that Cody wins the Rumble, let him main event, let CM Punk and Rollins open night one. Kick off, oh my god, the headlines that come along with CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. Kick off night one of WrestleMania with Punk Rollins. Why not? I would love to see it in the main event of night two, because I think that's where it belongs. But at the same time, I think Becky and Rhea, which we're probably going to get, belongs in the main event of night one. And there's not three main event slots. I'm sorry. That's totally leaving Io Sky, Bayley, and whatever they do with Damage Control out there in the wind. I get that. But, man, she deserves to main event at least once. Just saying. As I say, she is a monster. It is a foregone conclusion, but Rhea Ripley's really good, even in these foregone conclusion situations, at making the person going up against her look like they've put in a day and a half worth of effort in those matches. So, looking forward to it. Predictable, yes, but it is what it is. Becky Lynch versus Nia Jax, I'm pretty sure, is going to be, they'll play it up all match, like Nia Jax is going to break her nose again, she's going to keep blocking it. I would love, because she had the feud with Trish Stratus, and Trish Stratus had the face mask, I would love her to bring out that mask like a fucking trophy of defeating Trish Stratus and wear it as a sort of a kayfabe middle finger to Trish Stratus and a kayfabe middle finger to Nia Jax. It's like, yeah, this is all you have. Like, your entire name is based on you breaking my face, so I'm not going to let you do it. Let's fucking go. Nia Jax, I'm not going to lie, I could really do with not being back, but we can't always get what we want. And if Becky Lynch comes at her and they kayfabe breaking Nia Jax's face instead, and we can just have this little addendum to this story that's like 5 years old, it's like, yeah, Becky got her win back, Becky got her cheap shot back, or whatever you want to do. I don't want to drag this out. Becky's the good guy. Give the good guy the win and move swiftly on. Get Nia Jax. I'm sorry, but get Nia Jax off my television. Like, people are all over her right now because, oh my god, she's really, really funny and sarcastic in promos. And, like, yeah, like, she's not supposed to be there, but that's why it works. No, it's not. Like, Sean Waltman never deserved the term X-Pac heat, but all the intention that came with that cliche is Nia Jax, 100%. It's not, boo, I hope Becky Lynch beats you. It's like, boo, I'm a fan of Becky Lynch and I wish she was doing something better with her time. So, quick knockout. If they ring the bell and Becky knocks her out, I will laugh my ass off. It'll be a lot of fun. So, Becky Lynch is probably going to win the Rumble. Like, we need to start that momentum going by her knocking out Nia Jax. Just my opinion. Randomly, because we have new tag team champions in the women's division of Katana Chance and Caden Carter, and they sat there in the back and said, well, we need to have some number one contenders now. Tegan Knox and Natalya taking on Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. I like the team of Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. It's not going to be what Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey could have been. And yes, Zoe Stark is another one like Ivy Nile that I would love to see have another good run at a singles title. But in the meantime, Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark do make a hell of a team. I mean, she's on SmackDown, but I wish Tegan Knox was still teaming with Shotzi. Because right now, Shotzi over on SmackDown is just playing sidekick to Bianca Belair, and it's kind of nauseating. But if Tegan Knox and Shotzi were taking on Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark, this would be a much more even fight in my mind. But I do think Shayna Baszler is going to get the win. This is a tag team match to determine the number one contenders for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. It doesn't say whether it's at the Royal Rumble or not. I have to assume that it is, because I have to assume next year one of the things they're going to try and do is turn those belts around. But here's the deal. I think going into WrestleMania, we're going to be trying to get Damage Control, or at least the Kabuki Warriors representing Damage Control, into that title picture. Now, the question now becomes, do I want to see the Kabuki Warriors versus Caden Carter and Katana Chance, or do I want to see them versus Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark, or do I want to see a triple threat match? I'd be absolutely fine with a triple threat match when we get to WrestleMania, so I don't really care who wins this. I do think you might have another schmoz situation, like I mentioned with Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre, where, hey, if we go and mess up this number one contenders match, then we won't have any contenders. But right now it's baby faces. So the two teams that are not in this match, which is the champions and the Damage Control, are the ones that are going to be watching on. I would love to see them do like a fake, like via satellite thing, where even though it's Monday, the Damage Control girls are sitting in a SmackDown locker room watching the match, because I think that would be funny. I do think it's going to be Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark, and if there isn't a schmoz, I hope it's Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark, because the two of them taking on the current champions would be a lot of fun, because you got a lot of brawling, grappling, power moves type stuff versus an almost entirely aerial team. Chance and Carter are kind of like the Young Bucks, but good. And they don't fire their partners. That's something we can talk about on another day. So, that's day one. Seth is retaining, obviously. Rhea's retaining, obviously. Becky Lynch, by God, I hope, is smoking Nia Jax. And Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark are going to beat Tegan Knox and Natalya. Tegan Knox is another one that's in danger of falling through the cracks, but we can talk about that another day. NXT New Year's Evil, which is kind of surprising that it's such a small card, because normally, even the elevated weekly episode type shows usually have like six or eight matches on them, because they manage to cram so much into a show. But Tiffany Stratton versus Fallon Henley in a singles match. If Henley loses, she must become Stratton's servant. Now, they kind of telegraph the ending there, because it's not the loser must be the winner's servant. It's only if Henley loses, she becomes Stratton's servant. So you don't tease the stipulation that you're not going to follow through on. For anything that you might say bad about Vince McMahon, one of the things that you got to agree with him on, and he probably passed on to Triple H, was don't tease a stipulation you're not going to do. Fallon Henley is going to lose. It's probably by cheating means. Tiffany Stratton and Kiana James have somewhat of a partnership. That's going to come into play, I'm sure. I think you might also see the continuing, not necessarily heel turn, but like the more hard edge of Roxanne Perez, who comes down and we think she's coming to help Fallon Henley and she fucks her over. That could be a cool story. I also think Tiffany Stratton next year needs to go to the main roster. So play out a quick story where Tiffany Stratton owns Fallon Henley for a couple of weeks. Fallon Henley gets her win back, wins her freedom, and goes on to maybe pursue the NXT Women's Championship just in time for the Royal Rumble. And Tiffany Stratton comes out at number 30 in the Royal Rumble. Obviously, I'm not saying Tiffany Stratton wins the Royal Rumble, but it is what it is. And I think Tiffany Stratton on the main roster would be fucking fantastic. She can renew her feud with Becky Lynch. And then you can have Fallon Henley. You can have a respectful feud between Fallon Henley and Lyra Valkyrie. I think that would be a lot of fun. Or maybe that respectful feud won't be so respectful, and maybe it'll be with Blair Davenport, because the next match is Lyra Valkyria versus Blair Davenport in a singles match for the NXT Women's Championship. Look at that transfer. Look at that thing there. Look at what we did here. Now, the next two matches we're going to talk about were set up by the best stipulation to come out of wrestling in the past friggin', what, 10 years or so, not including the War Games? And that's the Iron Survivor. It's not Stadium Stampede or Anarchy in the Arena, which is just people cosplaying as badasses and fighting in weird places. The Iron Survivor is an awesome match. I'm glad that they did it in an actual arena this year, because it's fucking great. Blair Davenport and Trick Williams both won their respective Iron Survivor matches. Lyra Valkyria versus Blair Davenport. Blair Davenport is the one being credited with all the beatdowns that happened in the parking lot that definitely weren't initially being perpetrated by Indy Hartwell before she randomly got pulled up to the main roster. Blair Davenport's a badass. Lyra Valkyria is a lovable babyface who just got the title herself off of Becky Lynch. Let's not forget. So it's one of those, like, Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker, so whenever somebody comes along and beats Brock Lesnar, you kind of have to also imagine it's kind of like beating The Undertaker. And despite what people will tell you, it is still okay to admit that The Undertaker was fucking badass his entire career. So now, when you're going to talk about who's going to beat Lyra Valkyria for her championship, you have to sort of say, who's better than Becky Lynch? I don't know whether that's Blair Davenport. I think you get a lot of really scheming means from Blair Davenport. Lyra Valkyria has Tatum Paxley as sort of like the weird stalker in her corner. Now, that's weird. Now, it's going to come down to Tatum Paxley and Lyra Valkyria one-on-one at some point, because I think it could be like a Trish Stratus, Mickie James situation. But in the meantime, you can have the babyface cheat without really cheating, because somebody who's obsessed with her does the cheating for her, and she never asked for it. I think I've just talked myself into that being the finale. Tatum Paxley comes down. Lyra tells her to go away. Blair Davenport also gets distracted. They're equally distracted, so it's still an even match morally, I suppose. Lyra Valkyria gets the win. I don't think she drops the title anytime soon. There's something about Lyra Valkyria that I really, really like. Blair Davenport, she plays a badass. She wrestles like a badass. I really like watching her in the ring. I don't think what she's doing right now needs a belt. And I really think Lyra Valkyria, this early stage of her title reign, can't be losing it that quickly. As I say, though, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to throw either Fallon Henley or Roxanne Perez into this situation. If we get to Stand and Deliver and it's a four-way and it's Lyra, Blair, Fallon, and Roxanne Perez, that wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. Ilya Dragunov versus Trick Williams. A couple of things could happen here. We could be getting an Ilya Dragunov call-up, in which case Trick Williams is going to win. We could find out that Ilya Dragunov is the one that's been attacking Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes, and they team up, their friendship stays strong, and they defeat Ilya Dragunov. Trick Williams becomes champion. We could find out that it was Carmelo Hayes. He comes out and attacks Trick Williams, and Ilya Dragunov wins, kind of, sort of, by, I guess, disqualification. I'm really going to go, excuse me, with Ilya Dragunov keeps his title unless he's going to the main roster, unless he's going up maybe for the Rumble, maybe for the Raw after Mania, maybe for the rumored association between him and Imperium. I think it's a little bit of a stretch to say, oh, he should be in Imperium, because the last time they were in the same place, him and Gunther had a rivalry. I think that's a bit of a stretch. I think that's the opposite of a long-term story, but it is what it is. Carmelo Hayes, I'm starting to question more and more whether they're going to turn him heel and make him the attacker, because they just had him on back-to-back SmackDowns having babyface matches against Grayson Waller and Kevin Owens. So unless they want to break their current good record of, you know, continuity between NXT and WWE, do you want to have Carmelo Hayes play out one last heel story against his best friend before calling him up as a babyface? Do you want to introduce him to the main roster fans now as a babyface, and then in 3 or 4 months say, here's the same guy, but he's heel if you're not watching NXT? It's a little bit tricky. It's a little bit like checker pieces on the board. But either way, I think either in the Rumble or on the Raw or SmackDowns after Mania, that the main roster is either getting Dragunov or Carmelo Hayes. And once one of them moves up and the other one slides over, Trick Williams will be your NXT champion post-Mania. I don't know if it's happening at New Year's Evil, though. So that's all we have for the NXT show as well. Tiffany Stratton is going to win. Lyra Valkyria is going to retain. Ilya Dragunov is probably going to retain. No stipulations either, which is weird. Like, no stipulation matches. I mean, there's the Fallon Henley becomes Tiffany Stratton's slave, which is a little bit of a dated thing, but there's no stipulation match types. Like, there's no hardcore matches or strap matches. I know, what's his name? Thorn and Dijak are having an NXT Underground match sometime soon, but I think it's on a pre-recorded episode of NXT that we're getting over the holidays, so that doesn't count. But yeah, there's no cage matches, there's no Iron Man matches, there's no DQ matches. It's just three straight-up matches, and it's a light card for an NXT show. Switching over to SmackDown. SmackDown is giving us a New Year's Revolution card. Santos Escobar versus Kevin Owens in the finals of the United States Championship number one contenders tournament. Who's going to face Logan Paul? And it doesn't say at the Rumble, but let's be real. It's for the Rumble. Logan Paul ain't wrestling on SmackDown. Santos Escobar, we saw just this past week on the taped episode of SmackDown that he has now aligned himself with Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo, which was rumored for weeks and weeks and weeks. He is now all over social media saying that they are the real LWO, the Legado World Order, which is awesome. It's clearly going to lead to some trios matches between them and the actual LWO. I should say, on a separate note, they teased Karrion Kross bringing in the Authors of Pain, and not only the Authors of Pain, but also Paul Ellering joining Karrion Kross and Scarlett. So I do have a podcast coming out probably first or second week in the new year about why WWE could potentially have a better trios or six-man division than AEW. It's not that hard. I've got a list of 18 teams, and the 18 teams are teams that are currently in the WWE, currently on the active roster. There's no let's go grab this guy or let's go steal this team. It's all people that are on the roster. It's all people that are currently employed by WWE/TKO, and that's going to come at a later date. But Santos Escobar now has Humberto and Angel in his corner. Kevin Owens is going to have to worry about that, but Kevin Owens with his broken hand is going to kick the shit out of Santos, because they've already telegraphed it. It is very much like the Seth Rollins CM Punk thing. Like, they can throw anybody else they want at Seth Rollins right now. We know that Seth Rollins is going to keep his title, because we know that in the future, the bigger plan, the bigger story is Rollins versus CM Punk. Same thing here. They've already set up the issues between Logan Paul and Kevin Owens, and having Kevin Owens fight two matches with a broken hand, going into a third match with a broken hand versus Santos Escobar, who has this brand new backup, is a Kevin Owens story. So if he wins this and then Nick Aldis says, you know, you've blasted through this entire tournament, it's the best tournament to happen on a Friday night. It's the real Blue League, you might say. But you've just blasted your way through this tournament with a broken hand, with all this adversity, etc. We even threw a brand new upstart from NXT at you in Carmelo Hayes. We put you up against Austin Theory, former United States champion. We put you up against Santos Escobar with all this extra backup. You went through all that with a broken hand. You've got some time off until the Royal Rumble. Go get yourself trained up for Logan Paul. And, I mean, the promos between Kevin Owens and Logan Paul are going to be fantastic. So this is a foregone conclusion. The fact that they started this with a Bobby Lashley match on the Tribute to the Troops episode of SmackDown, I thought they were going to slow roll him into a babyface turn and maybe do Bobby Lashley versus Logan Paul, but that would just be weird. Okay, next, we've got Butch and a partner to be announced going up against Pretty Deadly, basically because Pretty Deadly are annoying and Butch wanted to deck them, and Nick Aldis said, go and find yourself a partner. We can do that next week. Now, let's talk about Butch for a second, because the Brawling Brutes don't exist anymore. Sheamus is off injured. Ridge Holland has gone back to NXT, and they're doing a really problematic angle where he's accidentally injured Ilya Dragunov, and I'm sorry. I know it's a story, and Big E's probably okay with it, and if he's okay with it, I should be okay with it. It's not the most comfortable thing to watch. Not because injury angles haven't been done, it's just I don't think you should be mimicking stuff that exactly with the same person that did the real thing doing the fake thing. I don't know. It's one of those, you look at a situation, you say what you feel, and that's how I feel. It's nothing against Ridge Holland. I think Ridge Holland got a bad rap after what happened with Big E, and I don't think WWE is doing him any favors by putting him in an angle where he injured somebody. It's just my two cents. But so there's no Brawling Brutes, is the point I was making out of all that. Butch is kind of going it on his own. He's having a bit of an identity crisis. Please, God, let this be the linchpin to him going back to being called Pete Dunne, because the Butch thing is kind of played out. He's even wearing wrestling gear with the old Bruiserweight like logo on it and everything. So just Pete Dunne, just do it. It's fine. Now, if I'm right, and if everybody that I've seen on Twitter and X and Instagram and YouTube and all that making basically the same prediction, if this is the way that they're bringing Tyler Bate to the main roster, this will be awesome. 2/3 of British Strong Style on the main roster, getting themselves mixed up in the tag team title. Maybe not the tag team title scene, but the tag team scene on SmackDown would be good. Now, the third member of British Strong Style would be Trent Seven. Now, two things happened when I went to the Impact/TNA show a couple of weeks ago. Is A, Trent Seven signed his contract to be a full-time Impact TNA guy. So he's with Impact/TNA now. He's also still the Destiny champion. Check it off your Smash Phoenix bucket list. It's fine. But 2/3 of British Strong Style, if Tyler Bate is the one that says, you know, hey man, we got a lot of history, like, you gotta fucking ditch this Butch thing. Like, what the fuck? I think that would be kind of awesome, and it would be a way for them to sort of hand wave away the Butch thing. Let him be Pete Dunne again. Let him be the Bruiserweight again. Let the Bruiserweight and the Big Strong Boy absolutely destroy Pretty Deadly, because that's what they're there for. They're there to be flamboyant and annoying and get their asses kicked, because that's what they're really good at. And, yeah, going back to it, Pretty Deadly's another one. It all comes back around to the Ridge Holland thing, because Ridge Holland also accidentally injured one of the Pretty Deadly guys. So it just makes me think more and more and more and more and more, they shouldn't be doing that thing on NXT. And also because, I mean, I like NXT, but it's not a very serious show. That's a pretty serious angle to run on a not very serious show, and doesn't jive. It just doesn't jive. Another one that's kind of, I mean, Butch and Tyler Bate, if it's Tyler Bate, are going to win that. Kevin Owens is going to win his match, as I said. Io Sky is going to successfully defend her women's championship against Mia Yim. They had the Holiday Havoc match on SmackDown this past week, on the taped version of SmackDown. Mia Yim was the one that got the victory for her team by going and putting herself through Io Sky through a table. So technically she pinned the champion, she gets a title shot. The bigger part about all that is we finally saw the return of Alba Fyre and Ila Dawn. So if they are going to get involved with Damage Control and the Women's Tag Team Championship picture, that's also awesome. I love me some crazy chicks. You guys know this. Io Sky, Mia Yim / Mia Yim, whatever they decide to call her this week. People are going crazy. People are going crazy about Mia Yim getting a title shot. And I don't get it. Because there's way too many, and I get it. Mia Yim is not Charlotte Flair. Mia Yim is not Io Sky. Mia Yim is not Asuka. She's not going to give you 25 stars at Madison Square Garden, 26 in the Tokyo Dome, brother. I get it, but she's not terrible. It is another one of those situations where somebody's getting called a 2 because they're not a 10. And it's bullshit. And she's going to give a fun match. Io Sky's going to go out of her way to make it a fun match. The rest of the members of Damage Control are going to go out of their way to make it seem like a huge bullying numbers game type of thing. And Mia Yim can play that up incredibly, especially with all the dissension right now between AJ Styles, Gallows, and Anderson in the OC, with all the dissension she has in her own group. If she goes up against potentially 5-on-1 with a, at least pretending to be altogether, Damage Control, she can be the underdog. She can be the babyface. She can get her ass kicked. That's what this match is. She ain't gonna win. Why are you worried? If you don't like Mia Yim, first of all, I don't really get where you're coming from. But second of all, if you don't like Mia Yim, don't worry. She ain't winning. I don't know what else to say. Io Sky is awesome. I'm really glad that she's champion. I think she's a great champion. I think her championship reign is sort of being swallowed up by this Damage Control story a little bit, and that's kind of unfortunate. But she's not going to lose to Mia Yim on her first day at work in 2024. It's just not going to happen. And Randy Orton, AJ Styles, and LA Knight are going to have fight in a triple threat match. And the winner is going to face the Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, at the Royal Rumble. So we all know what's going to happen here, right? The Bloodline are going to get involved. The match is going to be called off. And because there's no winner, Roman Reigns is going to go to Nick Aldis and be like, ha ha ha, you set up a match, but there's no winner, so there's no contender, so there's no match. And he's like, no, you're gonna face all of them. It's going to be a fatal four-way at the Royal Rumble, which is fine. Because you got AJ Styles, who's just come back. You got LA Knight, who's awesome. You got Randy Orton, who's really just come back. You got three guys that the crowd is absolutely behind. You can set up some multi-man matches between the OC and the Bloodline to underline the problems in the Bloodline and underline the problems with the OC. But also, I do think before the Royal Rumble, you are going to get Orton and Styles and Knight in a, oh my God, can they coexist against Roman Solo and Jimmy Uso? But that writes itself. Randy Orton, AJ Styles, LA Knight will not have a finish. Nick Aldis is going to say, hey, you know what? You want a challenger? You got three challengers. You got Aldis and more. So, it's predictable, but the things that I'm predicting are all things that I want to see. I want to see that four-way. I want to see how long Damage Control stays together. I want to see if Butch becomes Pete Dunne and brings Tyler Bate to the main roster. I want to see Kevin Owens get to the finals of this tournament with his broken hand and go Power of the Punch versus Power of the Punch against Logan Paul at the Rumble. These are all very predictable things. They're very predictable because WWE has now shown you that they can tell you, hey, stick with us because here's what you're getting at the end, and you're actually going to get that at the end. So that's a huge feather in the cap of one Triple H and whoever else is backing him, and whoever at TKO basically looked at Triple H and said, yeah, he knows what he's doing, let him keep doing it. Really, really, really excited, if you can't tell, for rolling in to 2024, because WWE is rolling. WWE is popping, AEW's stopping, whatever the old MVP line used to be. So let's go through this one more time for the good times. Seth Rollins is going to beat Drew McIntyre. Rhea Ripley is going to beat Ivy Nile. Becky Lynch is going to beat Nia Jax. Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark are going to beat Tegan Nox and Natalya. Tiffany Stratton is going to beat Fallon Henley. Lyra Valkyria is going to beat Blair Davenport. Ilya Dragunov's probably going to beat Trick Williams. Kevin Owens is going to beat Santos Escobar. Butch and his mystery partner are going to beat Pretty Deadly. Io Sky is going to beat Mia Yim. And Randy Orton, AJ Styles, and LA Knight will not have a finish. Yeah, except no. That's it. That's all I got. This is the rollout. This is the opening door of 2024. This is literally the first three shows that we're getting from WWE in 2024, and we haven't even gotten to the Royal Rumble yet. Let me know if you're excited. Let me know if you're into these themed weekly shows, because we know every other company does them. I've been Spaz, your YWC Reality Check. Subscribe up there. Talk down there. Start a conversation. Keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I will talk to each and every last one of you later, but for right now, I am telling you, I'm next.